Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning. Andy McConnell is back with us, and she has brought a friend, which we will introduce you to in just a second. Andy, it's good to have you here this morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ted. It's good to be here.
Before we get going, and you introduce Lydia, who you brought along today, the Fairy Godmother Project itself, talk about what you do.
Okay. We support families in our community who are facing pediatric cancer. Our goal is to support the caregiver so that he or she or they are able to better care for their family. We do that by doing a bunch of different things, including gas cards, grocery cards, house cleaning, lawn care. We also have a financial relief program that families can submit bills and we pay them directly. And then we also try to provide emotional support to the families. Each family is assigned a lead volunteer, and that person is the go-to for the family. And then recently we've implemented a new program that supports our families as they face end of life and bereavement. So we support the family when the child goes into hospice by being there as much as we can, running errands for them, helping, even if it's just simply cleaning out the refrigerator, whatever the case, mm-hmm. and then helping plan and often pay for the celebration of life for the family. So we actually right now are in the process. We have a little boy who passed this week that we're working on his celebration of life for this weekend.
Mm. And boy, that's to talk about ebbs and flows and ups and downs of what you deal with, because because every case is different and
yes.
every family's needs are different. And absolutely. In some cases, a child is diagnosed, they go through the treatment, the family goes through the shock. And then they go on.
Right.
But it doesn't always work out that way. And
right.
so you're dealing with just a whole host of things.
Yes. And we're trying to fill every gap we can. Our community is lacking in pediatric cancer facilities and therefore lacking in a lot of supports. So we try and look around, see what there is, and then fill those gaps. And I've told you before, my next goal is to put something in place for our survivors, because there really isn't anything. But as I'm sure Lydia will be able to speak to, even as a survivor, there are still long-term effects from the treatment, and there's still long-term, and you know that too, long-term issues that come with it. And then also that need of support is still there. Every time it's time for a scan, the parents express that they have what we call scan anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know all about that.
Yeah.
And so just being able to continue to support them in different ways, I think, is really important. So we're looking at different ways to do that.
Now, just I know in our case, just situations years after our son had finished treatment, whenever he would talk about being tired. You know, I seem to be tired lately. And that just sets off all kinds of alarms.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it's those kind of things. And you're right, the yearly checkups and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. So we try and just do as much as we can and as much as the family will let us do. You know, every family is different in how much mm-hmm. support they want, how much they kind of let us in. We have families that would probably have us visit daily, and then other families who have enough family and friend support that they don't need us in that role.
Well, I have told you before, and we've talked about this before, that before Fairy Godmother Project in this area, and they both do great work, but there's Ask down in the Richmond
yes.
area,
mm-hmm.
and Special Love does a lot of things up around Winchester, but does things for kids statewide, but for families around here, they're always Ask was usually the place that would take care of you down in Richmond, and to have Fairy Godmother right here, it's a big difference.
It is, and what I think is unique about what we do, or I'd like to think, is that many organizations do wonderful things, like they do trips or they do activities, going to watch a game or do that kind of stuff. But we try and fill in the day to day, those stresses that. You know, how are we going to pay for gas? And I was with a family yesterday who the little boy passed away this past weekend. And the dad or the stepdad said, just knowing that when we suddenly had to rush to the hospital that we still had our gas card and we could use that because we had paid our bills and we were, pretty depleted. And I thought, Wow. I mean, just first of all, being at that point financially has to be really difficult. But when you have bills coming in all the time and you're traveling and you're missing work, and that's what's happening to these families. Often the one parent leaves their job because they have to, because someone has to care for the child. And it's such a huge impact. And listening to this family talk yesterday was really very validating for me to know that we really are helping. We really are making a difference. And I always want to do more, more, more. But realizing that what we are doing is really pretty important.
No, it's just it's those little things. Mm-hmm. Back when my son was being treated, it was before cell phones and all, but people would give us phone cards. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a huge thing. Even just that you didn't have to figure out how you were going to be able to call somebody.
Right, especially because you want to keep your family up to date. It was before social media. So it's the same sort of thing. It like fills a real need there.
Yeah.
And gift cards, I think, are really very helpful, you know, the families. And the way that we're set up, the families choose what they want.
Yeah.
So we have a point system, and they're allowed a certain number of points every month, and they can use them however they choose. So some of our moms opt to have their house cleaned twice a month. Some of them opt to just get gift cards. You know, it just varies on the family needs. And then sometimes they shift it. You know, they may shift based on what their present needs are. But we try and allow them that flexibility.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is how you can find out more about the work locally of the Fairy Godmother Project here. Andy McConnell here, and you've brought Lydia.
I have brought Lydia. Lydia is a recent high school graduate of Caroline County, and she also was valedictorian. I just had to say it. But she also is a cancer survivor, so she is presently in remission, and she can probably speak to that a little bit. She's had quite a journey with cancer, that's for sure.
First of all, Lydia, valedictorian, after all, that's, to me, that's just, wow. It's,
I mean, she just finished treatment, and she just graduated. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That, I mean, that is really, you know, dealing with a lot, but also keeping focused on school. It would have been very easy for you to just kind of check out and just say, I want to get well, but wow.
And did I mention governor's school?
No, you didn't.
So let's try and embarrass Lydia as much as we can right now.
So if you're in governor's school, then you had to do like a culminating and all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually, yeah, I did do a culminating.
Yeah.
Which is like a year-long, 2-year-long research project we presented at the end of our senior year.
Mine you was know, on, while she was in treatment.
Mine was on therapy animals, which was actually inspired by my time in the hospital. So that was really interesting to research.
Oh, cool.
So, tell your story. We'll start off a little bit about your story. When were you diagnosed and all of that?
Okay. So just the bare bone facts, I guess. I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in September of 2013. I did a couple months of chemotherapy, was declared in remission, and then sort of sent on my way. But that summer, the summer of 2014, I was diagnosed with a recurrence of Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so after you have a recurrence of Hodgkin's, they start prepping you for a stem cell transplant. So I went through some chemotherapy probably January of 2015, and then I did my stem cell transplant, which is this long, arduous process, and like a month in the hospital. That was in April and May of 2015, and did some maintenance chemotherapy after that up until this past February, and that's when I stopped treatment, and I've been in remission ever since my stem cell transplant, so things have been going well since then.
Wow. Fantastic.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and that's really, when you go into the hospital, it's like a month, and nobody can be, you have to always have a mask, and people have to have a mask around you, is that?
Yeah,
that whole thing?
It's pretty tough. So you go in, and I was in the hospital for, I think, probably 20 to 30 days. I don't remember the exact number, but it was about a month. And you're in one room. You can walk the hallways, but anybody who has to come see you has to wear a mask. You get really intense chemotherapy for the first week, and then after that, you're literally just waiting for your blood counts to come back up so you can go home. So it was, that was pretty tough. It was probably the toughest thing that I've had to do. It was mostly just kind of lonely and boring, and you're stuck in one place. But it worked.
Were you able to go home? I know in some cases you kind of go to this, you go from the hospital then to kind of an outpatient kind of thing. You have to keep going back to the hospital.
Yeah, we did have a lot of appointments. We were fortunate enough to live close,
oh, you live
enough,
close enough
to the
okay.
hospital that we could actually go home. A lot of people can't do that because they live far enough away. They want you close in case of an emergency.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because I know somebody who's going through that right now, mm-hmm. and they're at the stage of being close by, but yeah, and they have said to me several times, I wish I could be home at this point.
It was so nice to go home. It felt so good.
Oh, I bet.
It felt so weird to be in a car after an entire month.
Oh, yeah.
Of being
yeah, you don't think
in
about
a hospital
that.
Room.
Yeah.
Everything was moving by so fast, I was just like, wow. And to eat something that wasn't hospital food was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat much. My stomach was still a little weird, but my first food was a Sonic onion ring. It was really... It was fantastic. I still love them.
Well, you look great for having gone through everything that you went through.
Oh, thank you.
So, I mean, you just are vibrant and in everything. So we're going to continue to talk. Lydia here along with Andy McConnell, the Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning, fairygodmotherproject.org. You can hop on their website and see all the good work that they do in this area especially. Andy McConnell is here, and she has brought Lydia with her. Lydia, I think you are the first valedictorian to ever be here. Now, at least no one has ever told me they've been a valedictorian. So, but with all the, how did you do? It had to be, I mean, you had to be focused and decided. You talked about how being in the hospital was kind of boring and all. And I mean, you had to at some point just decide, I'm going to, do as well as I can. And you did quite well.
Well, I have to credit my teachers with a lot, because I think if I had been left to my own devices, I would have had a lot more trouble catching up than I did. As it was, I had to miss two semesters of school altogether, one for the first treatment and one for the second. And I really didn't do much schoolwork during that time, but I really love school. That helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I was so motivated to get back and to rejoin my class where I was without missing anything. My teachers gave me the work. They would come by. They would help me at home, wherever I needed to be. And they really supported me and my family so much through that whole time. So I really think it's thanks to them that I kept up so well.
That's a good point that in some of your time you would have had to have homebound teacher.
Yeah.
And so for them to keep you on track, although you would be the a lot of times it's tough when you're a homebound student, and you obviously were motivated to do it too.
Yeah, there was a lot of self-teaching there when I was homebound, because high school subjects, what one teacher knows every high school
right.
subject? That's really hard. So they would give me the materials, but especially like chemistry and math, I would have to sort of go online, like Khan Academy. There's a lot of online resources, and really have to make myself do the learning and do what I needed to do to get the grade that I wanted there.
So when your whole story of when it started, when did you start feeling funny or feeling like something's not right here?
So I was a cross-country runner. This was right before my sophomore year of high school, my second season of cross-country. And I've always had kind of a weird problem with fainting, but I started passing out or feeling faint while I was running, which is kind of unusual. So we went to my doctor. He referred me to a cardiologist, said maybe we're dealing with some heart problems or weird rhythms or that sort of thing. My cardiologist did an echocardiogram, saw some weird narrow arteries where they shouldn't have been, ordered a CT scan, and they found this mass in my chest that was sort of pushing on some important things and causing me to pass out occasionally. And that was just a huge shock, because I had always had problems with low blood pressure, we just figured, oh, it's something kind of weird like that again. It's a simple fix. We're just going to figure it out. And to find out it was something like cancer was really, we just hadn't even considered it at all.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
And that's how it always is. It always, in every single case, it's not something you ever think about, and you just think it's some small thing.
Right. It's always these vague symptoms.
Right.
You're tired, mm-hmm. you're passing out, but it always seems like it would have an easier explanation.
And right.
And you've had it, and you and your family have really been through it, because when you a few minutes ago in the last segment when you were talking about what you've been through, of having it and then having it go into remission and then hearing it's come back again, that's tough.
That was probably tougher than the initial diagnosis, right? Because you know, you have experience with it. Mm-hmm. You say, I thought I was over this, and it comes back. So yeah, that was really hard. It was really hard to adjust mentally, I think, most of all, back into that mentality.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be really hard, because you've already kind of overcome it, and you're like, okay, now we're moving on, and then bam, it's back.
We've done it. Yeah. Right.
It really shook my worldview, because Hodgkin's lymphoma is really this really curable cancer, and everybody mm-hmm. says, well, if you want one, this is the one to have.
Right. That's a funny thing, because I've had conversations with people that are like, actually, no cancer is a good one to have. Let's
be
honest.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah. But that's what they
people say. Yeah.
And so I really just hadn't even thought of it coming back at all. Everybody said, you do this chemo and you go through a rough couple months and then you're fine, you're good, you're clear. And I really just fully believed that. And so to have it come back was just so, it's just crazy and really upsetting.
And so unexpected.
Yeah, so unexpected.
Right, right. And you've gone through all of that, and then to be told that the next step to cure you is going to require what you had to go through, that's even that's even worse.
Yeah, we had no concept, and we were just like, well, I guess we just do more chemotherapy. But it's really so much more than that. It's a lot of treatment.
Yeah. Well, and at least in your case, you're close enough, and you were able, I guess it was MCV was where you did everything out of, and it's at that point you're just thankful for the technology and that there's something that good that close.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot about if I was, I don't know, born 30 years ago or something like that, mm-hmm. this would be all the harder. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting to go from there to think about 30 years in the future where we might be.
Yeah, we can hope that we'll be somewhere great and it'll be
rid of it. So much. You talk to people like you, and you even look back 15, 20 years mm-hmm. ago and how little they knew. And but for Andy, for you, mm-hmm. and what Fairy Godmother does in dealing like with Lydia's family, again, this just shows, I mean, you're dealing with families in this case who thought, whew, we made it.
Well, what's interesting about Lydia's family, which she may not realize, is that when she was first diagnosed, I was put in touch with her mom, and her mom didn't want any help. She's like, we've got this, we can do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember having this full conversation with her. And I was like, okay, because she's a friend of a friend of a friend. And then fast forward, I heard from this same person again, okay, remember that family I told you about? Well, the child's had a recurrence. And it was really hard to convince her mom to take help. She was one of those parents I've told you about that it's like, please let us help you, you know? And she's like, we've got it. We've got great family support. We've got good friends. And I just kept saying, no, you don't understand. We have a budget for this. We can do this. You need to let us help. And she finally caved. And I remember going to their house, and she was like worried about having someone come to clean, you know, like, oh, but you know, the house is kind of messy. So I went home and I took a picture of my house. And I sent her the picture, and she was like, okay, then we can have someone come and clean. I was like, listen, they come to my house and clean, and it's rough at my house. I've got laundry coming out of my ears. And so she felt better about it. And then I remember her relief when the first time they came to clean, and she was just so, I mean, she's so appreciative. She's a very, very appreciative person in general. But I just, sometimes when we have those families who refuse the help initially, it's so gratifying when they finally go, okay, fine, I'll let you help, you know? And but it's hard.
It is tough. Yep. It was very tough because we had the same mm-hmm. reaction of, you know, we're good.
Yes.
We're good. We've, mm-hmm. you know, it's tough. But in our case, it was some friends who came and while we were in Richmond at the hospital, came on a Sunday afternoon and cleaned the house. And you come home to that and it's like, oh.
Oh, I get it.
This is really good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but it's hard. And it's hard. And I think your mom is a very strong, independent woman.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I can relate to that because, oops, I'm a person who does not take help well. I don't do it well. It's hard. I want to be the person giving the help. And
right.
I think that you know, your mom's very much that way. And so it's hard to suddenly go, all right, I can accept this help, you know. But she did. It just took a while.
No, yeah. that would have been me if you had come to me
yeah.
and said, we're going to do this. And I would have said, no, really.
We're fine.
We're fine. Yeah. Just help someone else.
Yeah.
And so it does. It does help everybody. It helps
and we do
the
have,
family.
We have a lot of I have one mom right now whose daughter's doing really well. She has her diagnosis is a terminal diagnosis, but she's beating the odds. And so the mom, you know, keeps saying to me like, oh, I don't want to take a spot for someone else. I don't want to take a spot for someone else. And I keep saying to her, no, let us keep helping. But she's kind of pushing us off at this point because she's worried she's taking when they don't necessarily need at the moment,
yeah.
you know? So, but right now we actually have more families in the Fredericksburg area than we've ever had before.
Well, and that's, we'll talk about that. That's the thing. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. the numbers and people are getting the diagnosis every day.
Right.
And so it's, that's what we're dealing with. Fairy Godmother Project, our focus. Andy McConnell here. She's brought Lydia from Caroline County. We're going to talk more with Lydia and find out about what's next for her. And as we continue along this morning, more on Town Talk and News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg. A Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the Fairy Godmother Project this morning with Andy McConnell, and she has brought Lydia along, who is a Caroline County high school grad, so valedictorian. What was your grade point average?
4.6 something. It was pretty up
Andy,
there.
Can you even?
No.
No, I can't either.
I think mine might have been half of that.
Yeah. And to go through what you did and to have that kind of a great point of graduation must have been special in a lot of ways for you and your family.
Oh, it was fantastic, especially because I was a speaker at graduation. So it was so much fun. My extended family came down. We had a nice dinner. I was really nervous, but once I got up there and did my little speech and graduated, it was probably the best possible high school graduation.
With all that you went through, did you end up graduating then a little bit? Did you graduate about a year late, or was this your class?
Yes, this was my class. Right.
That's even more amazing.
Seriously.
So what's next for you?
So I'm going to William and Mary in the fall. I'm very excited. I don't know much about college or my plans yet. We haven't made our schedules.
Yeah.
But I love Williamsburg. I love the campus. And I'm just super excited about the school. I'm so glad I could find something. So I wanted to be kind of close to home.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I could find something sort of within an hour, 2 hours that fit me so well. So I'm really excited. It's a great school for nerds like I am and people who actually like learning things and going to class and reading books.
Do you know yet what your major is going to be?
No, I don't know yet. I'm very interested in science and that sort of thing. I had a great experience this year in my high school physics class. So I'm interested in like exploring that area. But I know a lot of people change their minds and I'm open to changing my mind and I just don't know yet.
You mentioned that you had done your culminating project in Governor's School on service dogs.
Yes.
obviously you'd had experience in seeing them up close.
Yes. So I've been in the hospital a lot through my treatments, and there would always be therapy dogs who would come up to the hospital. I think they're called the VCU dogs on call. And they would come up and visit, and they would walk around, and me and my mom would be so excited to see them. We would be like, the dogs are here, the dogs are here. Did you guys hear? There's a dog on the hall. And we would seek them out. And we have four dogs, and I have one of the dogs is my dog. He's my dog. And so I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do my research on therapy animals and their benefits and how they're actually proven to help patients and in their healing and mentality and all those things. So that's what I researched. And In the process, I actually ended up certifying my own dog as a therapy dog. So he can now go to nursing homes and hospitals and that sort of thing with me and walk around and visit patients. So that was really cool to be able to connect that experience with this high school project and actually do it and actually give back to some patients what was given to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I've seen a lot of those dogs around, mm-hmm. and especially around kids, and mm-hmm. they're just so gentle and fun to play with,
yeah.
And it does. I guess it does lift your spirits just for the short time in those situations a lot of times that the dogs come around.
Yeah, it's a little bit of life and interest in the outside world into the hospital where it's often kind of feels very isolated and sterile.
Yeah.
When you mentioned that you've been in hospitals a lot,
mm-hmm.
and hadn't even kind of forgotten about that aspect, being in that you've been in hospitals so much, not being in hospitals and just every day has got to be exciting to you, and you just look at things, I would think, a lot different than a lot of kids who haven't been through what you've been through.
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like a large sense of fortune. Like, I'm very fortunate to be where I am. I remember when we first got out of the hospital from my stem cell transplant, I was just excited to take off my shoes and step in the grass and feel something really green, and the trees were so green and everything had so much color, and it really does give you, I mean, I already loved the outdoors, but mm-hmm. Now I have a really great appreciation for just the option to go outside and run around and have energy.
Yeah, and boy, just that whole energy thing too. When you're you sometimes you want to do things, but you can't because you feel so bad.
Yeah, and especially with a stem cell transplant, that's a long recovery. So I had a summer to recover, and I threw myself back into school, and I never really got a chance to catch up. So this summer has been so great because I got to sit around and I got to just take gentle walks and build up my stamina, and I'm up to running, jogging, and walking little half-hour increments, and it's been really great to be able to build myself back up to some exercise and actually doing things outdoors again.
Yeah, and as somebody who was a cross-country runner and all that,
yeah.
you were used to exercising like that, and once you're sick like that, there's just certain things you can't, even though you might want to, you can't do them.
Mm-hmm. Some people are very good about continuing to exercise. I was pretty bad about that, actually. Once I was in treatment, I was like, well, that's it. This is my job now. And I would kind of just give myself an excuse to lay around all the time. But it's been really good working back up to running. Running feels great. I feel better than I have in 2 years. And so it's been a very good summer.
Well, that's great.
You look great.
you look
healthy, and I would never have guessed anything of your story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I've been very lucky.
So, Andy McConnell here with Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. And one of the things you talked about all the things that Fairy Godmother Project does, all the practical things to help families, and you can do that when people donate and help fund what you do.
Yes, absolutely.
How can people? Can people get involved?
There's so many ways to get involved. Whether it's making donations online on our website, the front page, there's a donate button. But we're always looking for volunteers too. We love to have volunteers. We try and do house projects for the families, and also running meals. We also have meal making events every other month at Fredericksburg United Methodist Church, which information about that can be found on our Facebook page. There's lots of different volunteer jobs that range. Like, for example, we have a volunteer that comes in every Thursday for 2 hours, and she's been doing that well over a year, and she just does sort of whatever we have to do in the office, whether it's, you know, writing thank you notes or whatever we have that particular day. And then we also have committees that work on different events. We have our big Stardust Ball, which is September 30th this year, and it's sold out already. And
it's sold out?
Yeah.
And this is...
Put tickets on sale June 1st, and we had to close it the next week.
That's exciting, though, that there's that much excitement.
Yeah, I mean, this year we've had an unbelievable amount of interest in sponsoring the event, and so we've had to, right now we're kind of in a holding pattern waiting to hear from our current families, because our current families are invited to attend, and so we're waiting to hear back. Tomorrow is the cutoff for that. We need them to let us know so we know how many seats we need for them. And then also our bereaved families often come. We have the majority of them are coming this year. So we moved locations from the Silk Mill, because Silk Mill was wonderful, but there wasn't enough space. So we moved to the distillery this year. And we last year had about 250 people there. And we right now have 306 tickets sold. And we're kind of... Well, actually, make that 316. So we're holding off right now, because the space can fit quite a bit. But you don't want people to be paying to come to an event and then be squished.
Yeah.
So we're making sure that we have enough room for everybody.
So that just shows, in over the years that I've known you, the couple of years that I've known you, it's exciting to see that the community is seeing what Fairy Godmother
Absolutely.
Project is able to provide for the families,
yeah.
and wants to help you out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I would say, in the last year, not even quite a year, the impact on the community, their realization of what we do and their realization of our need is pretty great. And I started to say earlier that we right now have 15 families just in Fredericksburg that are currently in treatment. And the thing that's been really interesting about that for us is that people are now getting diagnosed and immediately being told, you need to call Fairy Godmother Project. So we have gotten the last four. One was the day the child was diagnosed, the mom applied. We've never had that happen before. It just speaks to the fact that our name is out there and people know, and they're saying, you want to do this. And it's so great when we get early in with the family, because families, people rally around in the beginning. And then sometimes they get busy and they get into their own lives and kind of not disappear, but they aren't quite as actively involved. But if we're consistently already supporting the family, that loss of support isn't felt quite as extremely. And then we also, like within a week or two, the other three diagnoses, we started supporting them. And the great thing is, the way that it works is we have a good contact at in Richmond, who I can send a message to, this family has applied, can you get me a confirmation of treatment? And so usually it's within 24 hours of application, we're sending them their gift cards, we're getting the house cleaned. You know, two different families we got at the same time, and their houses were cleaned by Friday. So we heard about them beginning of the week. By Friday, their house was being cleaned. And the relief for those parents is indescribable. And so just being able to, know, lots of times people have a tendency to give me a lot of credit for all this, but the reality is all I had was an idea. And so if people didn't donate, that idea would have been completely useless. If people didn't volunteer, well, I mean, I certainly couldn't do it alone. So it was an idea, but it's because our community has taken that idea and believed in it and kind of run with it that we've been able to help as many families as we have.
Andy McConnell here, and Lydia. She brought Lydia along with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. If someone wants to volunteer, I guess you're looking for any kind of.
I always say, like, what are your skills? We'll use them. We on the website, if you go to, there's a page called You Can Help. And if you click on that, there's the application is there. And they fill out the application, and then they get an email from Helen Jarrett, who is our volunteer coordinator. And she tells them exactly what they need to do. If they plan to be involved with our families, directly involved, they do have to have a background check. And then any volunteer that'll be interfacing with the family, so like our lead volunteers, they have to either commit to wearing a mask when they're around the child, or they have to prove that they are up to date on vaccinations, because chemo makes the vaccinations go away for the patient.
Yeah.
And so if they are, we have to make sure that we're not exposing the children to even more. And, you know, we've never had a problem with volunteers being willing to do that.
But Lydia, I guess for you going back to school and everything, that would have been a big thing of just your immune system and just so much germs and all and in just regular schools. That had to have been a concern for everybody.
Yeah. My stem cell transplant was actually with my own stem cells. They pulled them out and they gave them back to me sort of as a rescue.
Okay.
So there's actually less recovery time involved with your immune system there. I had about 4 months over the summer to bring it back up, and I had a few sort of immune, I think they call them immunoglobulin treatments, and with that they said I could go back to school, no restrictions, so that was very nice.
Yeah.
But I know some kids, you know, they have like a full year of immunosuppression, and that's a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy that I got to do that, but it would have been a lot tougher if it had taken longer. My immune system is still a little low. It takes a while to bounce back fully, but as far as my doctors are concerned, I can pretty much go wherever.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I guess in your case, you've been doing this now and have been through enough situations where you're kind of picking up the lingo and things. And I would for parents, you've seen a lot and are able to, at least in some cases, I guess, offer hope, offer just comfort, just from what you've seen over the last few years.
I've seen a lot, but one of our biggest policies is we don't give opinions. Mm-hmm. We don't share any knowledge that we think we have. So,
yeah.
Well, I may go, oh, well, she just did this, and I know this is what it looks like. The reality is, even if I've seen it 5 times, it's different every time. But yeah, we try and provide just sort of a, you know, the lead volunteer's role is sort of to be a comfort, to be a support, to be an outside friend. One of the things that this week going, like I went to the funeral home with this family, and just being able to be a person that wasn't grieving, to be a person that was on the outside taking notes, so because they couldn't hear what was being said, you know, and being able to fill that role that's really necessary but doesn't actually exist in any other. I'm sure there's other organizations that do similar things, but being able to do that for a family is really, really indescribable. I mean, I can't even. It's been an intense week in such a positive way, you know, knowing that we're helping with these things that the families can barely handle. I mean, that's sort of what we do. It's really, really valuable.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is how you can find out more. Andy McConnell here, Lydia here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning. Andy McConnell is here. She brought along Lydia, the valedictorian at Caroline County High School. Still can't, that is just so cool. That you were able to do that, and who knows, Lydia? I mean, that I would think would encourage a lot of kids.
Oh, absolutely, would have to.
Yes, that story, you're going to become a legend. but really, that story is something that is bad and as awful as cancer and chemo and a stem cell transplant is. As bad as that all is, you can still make it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a big message for kids.
You know,
especially for somebody who's not terribly motivated.
Right. Or just feeling like, or the person that feels like, you know, what's my life going to be like now?
Right.
That on the other side of it, you know, if you stick with it, and it couldn't have been easy. Like you said, you kind of had to self-teach yourself some at times.
Wild. Yeah.
You just got to set your mind to it. If that's what your goal is, you have to set it and find some way to get there, I guess. Yeah.
And how exciting will it be for you to walk into Williamsburg and William and Mary this fall?
So exciting. I'm just so excited to be able to go in just like everybody else is, a normal student doing my thing, not much more baggage than anybody else has. And so that's really a great gift for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Again, because I'm sure in high school you've probably been, you know, there's Lydia. You know.
Oh yeah.
She's got cancer.
Yeah. everybody knows about it. I would go to school after my treatments for a full semester. I'd have my little hat on to cover.
You look very cute in that hat. I saw some many pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was sort of my thing. Yeah. It's gonna be kind of weird in college. Nobody really knows. So you sort of have to. That's a conversation I haven't really had to have with a lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Yeah, there'll be times if someone, you know, if you tire out and to say, well,
it'll come up. Yeah, it'll definitely come up. So I guess that's just something I'll have to get a little practice at. Yeah. But it's a nice change. It's a good change. It's a good thing to have to.
Yeah.
Tell people.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Andy, September is Childhood Cancer Month. That's where you wear the yellow ribbon. I still have my yellow ribbons
you
gave me.
I'm so glad to hear that.
From last year, and you'll be back to talk about that.
Yes.
And so that's a big, a lot of emphasis on that month, and that'll be a chance for you again to talk about just all the good stuff that Fairy Godmother does around here.
Yep, we'll be doing a Heart of Gold campaign with Strong for Dom Foundation and also the Sly Strong Six Foundation. All of us are working together to raise awareness.
Okay.
So I think it'll be a great campaign, a little bit different than last year because we've added another Sly Strong Six is going to be joining us, and great efforts. We're going to do an awareness walk on the 1st and just try and get the word out there more. I mean, awareness has definitely grown in this area, but it needs to be more.
And you'll be in on the 1st. So
I will. I'll bring some people with me.
We'll talk about that. Great to have you here. Again, if people want to get involved, fairygodmotherproject.org, always looking for donors and volunteers.
Absolutely.
And Lydia, fantastic to meet you. Thank you for driving up from Caroline this morning and telling us your story. And Good luck at William and Mary.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's just great to meet you. Just an encouragement of what you've been through.
Absolutely.
You always bring good people, Andy. Thank you.
I try.
thanks both of you for coming in. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. They also have a cool Facebook page where you can follow and see things like Lydia's story. That's it for Town Talk. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.